How would you like to win a $50 gift certificate to Concordia Publishing House? There are two ways you can win. One, write the best invitation to your Facebook friends to become fans at the Issues Etc. Facebook page. Or two, invite the most friends to become fans at our Facebook page. Send an email to contest@issuesetc.org with the text of your invitation and the number of friends you invited. We'll give away the CPH gift certificates October 1st. Invite your Facebook friends to become our fans today. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Friday, September the 17th. How did this happen? There's this pastor of a small congregation in Gainesville, Florida, who has the bright idea of burning the Quran on September 11th. And ordinarily, that would be local, maybe regional story. It becomes a national story, becomes a worldwide story. Eventually, the president of the United States is appealing to this pastor of this small congregation in Gainesville, Florida, not to burn the Quran on the anniversary of September 11th. How did this happen? And how did the media cover it? Joining us to talk about the media coverage of the planned and then canceled International Quran Burning Day, Terry Mattingly. He's editor of GetReligion.org. He writes a weekly On Religion column for Scripps Howard News Service. He's going to be part of a regular feature here on Issues Etc. every week with the people from GetReligion.org. And he's author of the book, Pop Goes Religion. Terry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Glad to be here.
The Reverend Terry Jones and his International Burn a Quran Day. How do you think the media did?
Well, first of all, the public really seemed to think that the journalists should have been able to, like, click their heels together three times, say, can't we all get along, and just have the subject vanish. The public kind of had the impression that this thing shouldn't have been covered in the first place, you know, that it should have all been relegated to, like, 30 seconds of grainy footage on YouTube if everybody had just looked the other way. I think that's unrealistic in large part because one of the crucial elements of all journalism is a matter of timing. You know, and it's one thing for an obscure pastor of a small church, you know, in Gainesville, Florida, to say he wants to do this. It's another thing for him to say that he wants to do it on 9/11. And as Get Religion kind of continued to pursue this and play the thread out, along came a story from the Politico that kind of noted the genesis of this story. And there's an organization, the Council on American Islamic Relations, that is a very powerful force in media relations for Islam here in the country, primarily pointing out acts that it considers homophobic. Not homophobic, Islamophobic. There you go, that's the word. And in this case, they saw what this guy was going to do. They saw his determination to publicize it. They saw that he intended to try to get other people elsewhere to do it. You know, the world Burn a Quran, International Burn a Quran Day. And they decided to put out a press release against this event. And so it was actually a decision by Muslim activists that launched this story into the stratosphere. And it put it on the docket of, like, every media operation in the country. So that's how we got there. Once it got rolling, of course, it turned into another case of what I would call painful free speech or painful symbolic speech, to where there was no question what this man was doing was stupid. It was alarming. It was, from the viewpoint of traditional Christianity, it was sinful. It was definitely dangerous to American soldiers, to American diplomats. It was dangerous to Christian converts in cultures around the world. It was dangerous to missionaries. It was all of that, and it was completely legal.
So,
and based on previous court cases, he had the right to do it in our free society, as painful and aggravating as that is.
Do you think that the media rightly dealt with the two sides of that coin? One, a profoundly mistimed and ill-conceived idea with free speech?
Well, I thought there was two problems with it. You know, obviously very few people, although there were some consistent liberals who stood up and said, gosh, this guy is a jerk, but he has the right to do this. I mean, there were people that said that. The Washington Post ran a couple of pieces that essentially said that. So, I mean, everybody knew what that issue was. Where I faulted the mainstream press in this was they let this thing go for quite a while before anyone began to pay attention to the fact that mainstream evangelicalism and even the most conservative figures in American Protestant life spoke out against this really early, really loudly, very articulately. And we had several days of headlines, basically, of kind of liberal clergy and liberal groups protesting this, when in reality, everybody was. And I think the issue of whether or not this would hurt missionaries, whether this would hurt Christians and other religious minorities in some parts of the world, I thought some of those angles should have been covered quickly because people started talking about them pretty quickly. Does that make sense?
So in other words, what the media was covering, typically at the beginning of this story and through its teenage years, if you will, was where they would normally go to get reactions to things like this.
It was jammed in a template, and the template was crazy religious right guy decides to burn the Quran. And this was a guy, you can't stress too often. I mean, for example, with Westboro Baptist and those guys in Kansas, you know that crowd, the God Hates America crowd?
Yeah.
You can't stress too often, these are people that think the Southern Baptist Convention is a bunch of left-wing liberals, you know, in bed with the National Council of Churches. I mean, so Franklin Graham is a liberal to these guys, you know, because he works with Catholics and he works with all kinds of people, including Muslims in many parts of the world. I mean, so I thought there was another element, and this is the sort of thing that Get Religion likes to point out. I don't know the degree to which we can expect the press to understand this, but one of the really tragic aspects of the story was this was a look into the really dark side of the independent, free church, radical congregationalism of our age. When you ended up having to say to yourself, who has the right to call this pastor up and tell him to stop? And the answer is nobody. He doesn't have a local association like a Baptist. He doesn't have a presbytery like a Presbyterian. He doesn't have a bishop, you know, like Methodists or Lutherans or Anglicans or Orthodox or Catholics or anybody. This guy, he answers to no one except himself. So when the president of the United States has to call the pastor of a small congregation somewhere and ask him to stand down, isn't that an interesting comment on the state of religion in America, just at, like in terms of the structure of Protestantism?
Do you think that how would you respond to somebody, Terry, who says, look, granted, Kerr was the one who launched this into the stratosphere, as you say, by issuing a press release and drawing attention to the Reverend Terry Jones and his International Burn a Quran Day. But had the media simply ignored him, as they ignore so many people who threaten to do all sorts of things in the name of religion, it never would have been a story. It never should have been a story.
Well, okay, at that point, you've got to deal with the fact that it was already a story on Al Jazeera, and it was already a story on other international cable outlets. At that point, the issue was whether you wanted American media to cover it, and you wanted American media to cover the fact that Americans were opposing this, people were protesting against it, mainstream evangelicals were protesting against it, or did you only want to go with stories aimed primarily at the Arab street? Now, with that said, let me stress, Al Jazeera English, the reports I saw from them, were actually some of the most constructive and best reports on this event that I saw anywhere. They started covering some of the moderate opposition to this event in some ways earlier than some American media did. So I've been kudos to Al Jazeera English you know, for taking, for seeing what this was, you know, pretty early on. But the video was going to go around the world. The video was going to be on cell phones in Pakistan, no matter what we did, you know, and that's the world we live in today. I mean, and I wrote a piece for Get Religion that listed a whole bunch of other things, you know, that basically argued, I mean, for example, I called the piece Burning the Ties That Bind. You know, in the country we live in, you know, was it news when the American Nazi Party marched in the heavily Jewish suburb of Skokie, Illinois, you know, in an area that contained 1,000 or so Holocaust, you know, survivors? Well, yeah, that strikes me as news. It's painful, but it's news. I mean, was it news when Muslims burned the satanic verses, or when Muslims on the other side of the world burned Bibles? Well, we haven't played those up as big, but it happens. The video's available. The pictures are available. The Phelps crew, the Westbury Baptist guys with their signs waving them at the funerals of American soldiers, the courts have upheld that. This is a nation of painful symbolic speech. I don't think the media can wave a wand and make that go away, especially in the age of international cable satellites, flip cams, you know, iPhones with video capacity, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, when we come back, more with Terry Mattingly on the media's coverage of the planned and then canceled International Quran Burning Day. I want to know from Terry, long time in the media and as a journalist, whether or not the mainstream journalism community has done the basic reporting work to understand that facet of Christianity of which Terry Jones is a part, this independent evangelical facet of American Christianity. We'll be right back.
Think big screens belong in the movie theater, not at church? Think garage bands should stay in the garage, not be jamming in front of the altar? Hey, we do too. Come join us at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, for services that are reverent and relevant, vibrant and traditional. Divine service on Saturday at 6 p.m., on Sunday morning at 7:45 and 10, with Sunday school and Bible class in between at 9. Join us. Not a big screen or garage band in sight. Promise.
Issues Etc. is listener supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Pro-life Kenyans blame America for pro-abortion provision.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Some allege that a new constitution in Kenya, which would legalize abortion there for the first time, was not even completely written by Kenyans. Instead, U.S.-funded organizations working in concert with Planned Parenthood authored parts of the Constitution. Teresa Okafor of Kenya's Life League called the proposed Constitution a conspiracy to strip Africa of its cherished values by international organizations like Planned Parenthood and the United Nations. Africans regard every child as a blessing. Amidst biting poverty, the birth of a child is celebrated. Children are treasures in Africa.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Civil religion immunizes people to authentic, genuine Christianity. The God of American civil religion is not the triune God of Jesus Christ. He is Zeus. at best or Baal at worst.
Secularists are a bit like the person who stabs the swordsmith with the sword and then says, well, clearly then swords don't need swordsmith.
He begins and ends with the Word of God incarnate as he is displayed to us in the written Word of God, the Scriptures.
So the Spirit becomes kind of the great sugar daddy of the Trinity, who doles out power to those who are most faithful, who pray the right kind of prayers, who have dedicated themselves, who are truly obedient.
Get ready to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week in about 5 minutes here on this Friday afternoon. In the meantime, we're talking to Terry Mattingly of Scripps Howard News Service about the media coverage of International Quran Burning Day. Terry, do you think that the media has yet done the basic reporting work that is necessary for them as the reporters, and for us as the consumers of their media, to understand this facet of American evangelicalism reflected in Pastor Terry Jones, this independent facet of American evangelicalism?
That's really the horrifying part of it to me, in that I'm not sure we should ask them to understand it until some media have done the reporting that would help the rest of the media understand. Does that make sense? It's a catch-22. How can the media grasp that element of this story until truly respected national mainstream media get it as a story in and of itself? I mean, this could be a five-part series in the Washington Post, you know, the rise of non-denominational America. I mean, that's a subject for a brilliant cover story at the Atlantic Monthly. That's a series of NPR reports. That's 60 minutes. I mean, it's going to take a kind of a critical mass being reached in terms of the press realizing Pat Robertson couldn't have called this guy and told him to stop, and he would have cared. I mean, even on the far conservative side of Pentecostalism, I don't know who could have called him. What a country, what a world, when the president of the United States has to worry about these things, and nobody from his own religious tradition or anything can possibly say a word to him. And there are theological differences. Baptist Press, a couple of years ago, did a brilliant piece where they actually analyzed the differences between what Westboro Baptist means when it says the word Baptist versus what mainstream, very conservative Southern Baptists believe about the Bible and believe about sin and believe about patriotism and even believe about sexuality and believe about any of these things. But that was in Baptist Press. Millions of readers are still picking up newspapers and seeing Baptist wave we hate gays signs at soldiers. Well, to millions of Americans, what does the word Baptist mean? They probably think Southern Baptist Convention. We've got a lot of work still to do. I mean, Get Religion is almost 7 years into this project, and I see moments of progress. Of course, the overall financial crisis in the news biz is affecting how many trained specialty reporters there are today on a lot of different beats, not just religion. But this is still a fight worth having. It's a battle for journalistic standards that people who care about religion and who care about journalism, we just simply can't give up. These issues are just too important.
Terry Mattingly is editor of GetReligion.org. He writes a weekly On Religion column for Scripps Howard News Service, and he's author of the book Pop Goes Religion. Terry, looking forward to working with you and your colleagues at GetReligion.org.
You bet. It's going to be fun to get to talk some of these things out and hash them out verbally, as well as just pounding our fingers away on the keyboard.